Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Galatians chapter 5. I love good music. That's better than 98.1 and 90.2 and all the rest of it, isn't it? Absolutely. Dan's father, I believe, and two uncles. I've known them for the last 20 years or so, in moving around in many, many moves in the military through, I don't know, seven churches. I've known them as the Van Gelderen brothers and watched from afar and read some of their books. His uncle wrote a book on an evangelist and the evangel and about the gospel and the power of the gospel. It's been a great blessing to me over the years. And so I'm thankful. And it's good to see that the generations are going on. Ministering to people is super, super good stuff, isn't it? It is. And speaking of ministering, you need to be really, really kind tonight to that couple, because if I'm not mistaken, you are still under 1 year of being married. Is that true? Yes, sir. Yes, they are. Say amen. Amen. Newlywed. That's good. A couple, five guys and a couple. What is that? Is that a hamburger joint or a name of a new movie or what is that? Amen. So you guys need to give them some good time alone. But yeah, coming on the 1 year mark. Congratulations. That's exciting. That's exciting. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 is where we're going to be tonight. And I'm going to talk to you just for a few minutes tonight. And something I think a lot about in my daily life, I think. And the message tonight is godly character counts. Godly character counts. As we look into the news and we see and we look around the world, this place is coming unglued rapidly. We're not talking about small change. We're talking about rapid, ungodly change in our world. And yet there are local churches, God's church in local places, virtually in nearly every country of the world is a shining light that's diametrically opposed to the darkness that's there. It's a very interesting thing that we're going through. And I often think of the nation of Israel as Moses, as he led God's people into the land of Canaan that was a very dark place, yet God's people were right there in the middle of it. And I feel at times that's what America is. That's what Liberty Baptist Church is in Las Vegas as we live here. Very interesting. And I wanted to look at just a couple of characters in the Bible in my years that I've taken note of their lives. And there's three, Moses, Solomon, and John the Baptist. Very well known. And what do those men, and maybe a single characteristic in their life that is really meant to me? So we're going to pray and ask the Lord just to help us to think about this tonight. And hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. Pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the salvation that we have in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. What a wonderful God you are to us. Lord, that our salvation is completely free, without any work, pride. It's all based on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ being the Son of God and coming to this earth and sacrificing his body in utter pain and taking upon our sin on his body and become sin for us who knew no sin. And he paid the complete penalty for our sin. Even us sitting here in this place, 2,000 years future, he paid for all of our sin. And died and was buried, and 3 days later rose again in victory as a living Savior. That all we have to do is to believe that gospel of what he did on that cross for us and believe it and then call upon the Lord Jesus to be our God and Savior. And at that moment, we're completely forgiven of our sin and receive a gift called eternal life. Lord, that is beyond comprehension of my mind, but I'm thankful that your word speaks of that salvation and of that Savior. Lord, as we go through this message tonight, I pray that this your word will do a simple work in the hearts of your people, that they'll have the boldness to be good before you because we're saved. In Jesus' name, amen. In the years when I was in my last tour out in the military, out of the base as a squadron commander, about 700 or 800 aircraft mechanics, from 2005 to 2008, I had a lot of leadership challenges there. And that job very much is a living in a glass bowl type of a job, but a tremendous, tremendous opportunity to have an influence on other people, just like you do where you go and the people that you contact. It's all about people, isn't it? And I thought about during my career as I came up to that, and I ended at about 29 years of military service. I've been in aviation for about 33, 34 years now, and met a lot of different types of people, a lot of different types of characters. Have you met a few characters along the way? A lot of them. Some not so good. Some that you watched from maybe from near. You worked directly with them, or you went to school with them, or you saw them in the community, and then some that you saw from afar. You saw them from time to time, and you marveled at their character. And then maybe they had that one characteristic. You just said, I would love to be like that. I would love to be like that. I've come across a lot of them. And I grew up, and I say grew up because I joined the military when I was 18 years old as an aircraft jet fighter mechanic. I grew up in the jet fighter community. And it wasn't just the mechanics. You also have who? Fighter pilots. Now, that's a crowd of people. Now, I don't know if we have a fighter pilot in here, but they are a unique brand of people to sit in an airplane by themselves and fly routinely 500 miles an hour to 1,000 miles an hour, high altitude, low altitude. Having people trying to shoot them from the ground and shoot them from the air and do all kind of electronics thing to them. And they have to know where they're going by themselves. They have to monitor the status of the aircraft and the weapons systems on board so they can shoot back. And they have to do what they were told for that mission all at the same time. So they have a lot of intense focus. Some may say they have a lot of inward focus. They're very, very confident people, and they have to be. Because if you're not confident in a single-seat, high-speed jet fighter, you will do something which is the number one violation of everything that they do, and that is you hit the ground. That's not a good thing. So I've come across a lot of these folks, and I've had some fantastic fighter pilot leaders. G-Man Walterin, squadron commander, an F-117 stealth fighter, or as a senior maintenance officer. Tremendous leader. And I've come across some of the most selfish, self-centered, arrogant, ungodly fighter pilots that do the most vulgar thing. I was stationed in Kunsan Air Base, South Korea, on our one-year remote tour with fighter pilots. Interesting things that I've ever seen. And fighter pilots they're just different. So how do you know your date with a fighter pilot is half over? When he says, but enough about me. Want to hear about my airplane? How do you know if there's a fighter pilot at your party? He'll tell you. Well, what's the difference between the Lord and a fighter pilot? The Lord doesn't think he's a fighter pilot. And what's the difference between a fighter pilot and a jet engine? Oh, I like this one. A jet engine stops whining when the plane shuts down. I was a mechanic, so I kind of get that one. I've come across some characters across my life. And as I look into God's Word, the Lord has provided through his inspiration and preservation of his word for us in this generation today, lots of examples of different type of people. That's what I like about the Bible. It's exciting. The book of Acts, the Gospels, the Old Testament scriptures. If you're bored, read the Bible. Well, if you're not bored, read the Bible. That side too. So in Galatians 5, I often think as I go through my day, what are the characteristics? See, I have to remind myself because I have a sin nature just like you. What are the characteristics of the Holy Spirit that I want to have in my life? So I make sure that I blend the personality that God has given me and intertwine that with the godly characteristics of the Holy Spirit so I can be who God wants me to be. And I look through Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23. And Paul, he writes to the churches of Galatia up in the Turkey area that we know today. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Well, let me stop. I'm going to read this backwards because we all read it and we don't pay any attention to it because we do it so many times. But the fruit of the Spirit is temperance, meekness, faith, goodness, gentleness, long-suffering, peace, and joy, and love. Boy, what a lineup, huh? And you go in the workplace, you're supposed to be Mr. Tough Guy. But that says you're supposed to be gentle. But you're supposed to, that's about the bottom line of the mission or the company or what you're doing. It says you're supposed to have love. And that's right in the front of the lineup. And as I go through, I think, and I have young people come to me from time to time and ask, what do you think is the recipe for success to get through your adult life well? Now, what an incredible question to try to answer. And I always go back to, it's all about character. It's all about character. As tough as it is, character, godly character, will always benefit us because God will bless it. And it may not be at that second, but God will always bless it. So I go back and I think, well, who comes to mind? As I teach my adult Bible study, by the way, I teach at 8:30, 9:45, a really good Bible study. Rick Burkett's not here. Amen. He's on the side. I'm all the way down the hallway, second door from the end on the left. You ought to come. If you don't go to an adult Bible study, you're missing out. Do we have lots of fun in there? Amen. And good food? Oh, yeah, really good food. That's good stuff, too. And Bible teaching, still. Bible teaching. I think about who's at the top of their game. Who does the Lord mention for us as the guys at the top of their game? Because I've met some leaders, I said before. I've met General Norman Schwarzkopf in his home. George Bush Sr., met some folks, I went, boy, they've done some things, and there's a reason why they were a success. So number one, I want to talk about meekness. When I think about meekness, I always go back to Moses. Turn, if you would, to Numbers chapter 12. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers chapter 12. Moses is one of the men who's talked most of in Scripture. And I think the Lord puts that in there for us because of all the things that he had to do. An amazing life. And we pick up in chapter 12 of Numbers in verse 1. The Bible says, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Wow, what a title. What a title. And verse 4, and the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle. You know what that means? This is so deep. You know what it means when the Lord came down and stood at the tabernacle? That means he came down and stood, which means in human body form, he sat there and stood to look at them. That's what it means. Very simple. And called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. So they're called on the carpet. In verse 6, and he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. Moses, a meek man. I find that very interesting that Moses gets attacked for a decision that he's made. He's married Miriam, and they're saying, wait a minute, why is that? Why are you going to let Moses be in the speaker? He married an Ethiopian woman. What's that? And I find out in the character of meekness, I often think the times when I get challenged to be meek is not when I wake up and nobody's around, I'm getting ready for the morning, it's just everything's nice and calm, and I step out and I start driving. That's not when it's time to be meek. It's when I get to the intersection and someone runs me over nearly. That's when the challenges come. And I find it really is when it comes on a person one-to-one basis, when someone comes up to me in a figurative way and pokes me. What do I do? Because I know what I want to do. When someone comes up in speech and pokes you, really off guard as well. What do you normally want to do? You want to poke what? Back real fast. And I find even in God's church, there are Christians who still do that. And not be so. And if you're a new Christian and you have a lot of anger in you, let the Lord start working that out. It's a trust issue, ultimately. Lord, I'm getting emotion comes up. Let myself control myself, Lord, help me, and you take care of them. Because you're far better to take care of that person than I am. Far better. Especially when you're in the emotion of the moment. That's why I think our court systems in America are so important. That if someone comes to me and hurts one of my daughters or my son or my wife, I got to be very careful not to react the inappropriate way and to take a step back and allow them to have the emotion to come down, to think through what they're going to do and not let the emotion of the flesh react. The Bible called that being yielded to the Holy Spirit. I can let my soul can be controlled by my flesh or my soul can be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Which one am I going to yield to? And I find that very, very helpful, especially for me or for a person who has a good deal of emotion in them. Some people are very even-keeled people. Sometimes it's not necessarily a big problem for them. But Moses got attacked. He got accused. And he held his peace. I think that's a great, great, great attribute for Christians in today's society. Because as we drive around and we go around Las Vegas, do we see rage in people? We do. everywhere. I see some tremendously nice people here. We have wonderful, unsaved, nice, unsaved people in this town. But the overall, we have a lot of people very much into sin and into flesh and into I want and I want it now. And when we react, we have to, if we're going to be a light in this town and make a difference, we really, I think, number one, need to be able to control our flesh. I've had, and it's interesting when the first time you have it, compliments to you, and let's say you're trying to get something and the person at the store is really rude to you, really rude, and you're trying to sit there and just explain the outline and they're just really rude, and the person behind you will compliment you and say, I don't understand how you stayed so nice to that person. That's pretty remarkable. The first time you get a compliment on that, you're going to think, you had no idea what I wanted to do. But the thought comes by, they're watching, are they not? They are. They are watching and they're taking note because most people don't react like that. That's why I think when the understanding that when Paul says that there's a war going on inside our members, and the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I keep going back to them. There's this war going on. Once I realize, I'm not just, that's the way I'm designed. Oh no, there's greater hope than that. My hope is within the Holy Spirit who's within me, that God gave me at the day of my salvation when I asked Jesus to be my Savior in that pastor's office in Sumter, South Carolina. I remember that. Had never heard the gospel prior to that. And when I found out and I started learning from the Bible that Holy Spirit wants to help me control that spirit, I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. I can not keep opening my mouth and inserting foot like I used to do so many times when I was young. A lot. That's neat stuff. Because now life is hard enough. I don't need to be adding to it. I can be like Moses. And when something or when someone pokes, you stop. Now, here's the really cool part when I read through this passage. And it happens in verse 2 and verse 4. And he said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And then the Bible says, and the Lord heard it. So if you're out somewhere and someone pokes you, and how you're going to react, you can be sure the Lord is right there noticing. I like that. Not only noticing how we react, but noticing what people are doing to you. He's right there and he notices. I have to, on a daily basis, remind myself that God is actually in me and the person of the Holy Spirit. And everywhere I go, he's right there with me. There's a biblical truth that it should be impossible for you to ever get lonely. Because he's always with you. There's no such thing as a Christian who's by himself. Because the Lord is always there with you. And the Lord heard it. And in verse 4, verse 3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses. I like that. That God not only noticed, but he took action. God is a God of action. God is fully able on the spot to take care of things and maneuver things for our benefit. Because does God want us to be successful and prosper in this life? He does. Does he want to be extra good to his children? He does. Heidi's home from college. She's got a temp job. She's looking for maybe that full-time job. We're still trying to be extra good to Heidi to get her in and land that job to be exactly where God wants her to be after she's just finished 4 years of college. Debt free. Why? She's ours. She's ours. And are we the Lord's children? He takes note and the Lord knows how to take action, even though maybe we don't even know how to respond. Or we know how to, but we control ourselves. I like that. The promises of God to Moses all throughout his challenges of life. And he had many different twists and turns. God was there trying to direct him, trying to help him. And in spite of Moses, and Moses goofed up along the way, Every person does. Every great person will mess up from time to time as well. God was there with him. And what I like about this is Moses, up to this point, had already made many mistakes. God never gave up on him. At this point in my life, I look at Marianne and I, and all the things we've done over 28 years of marriage and knowing each other for 30 years, God's never given up on us. Even today. I like that, don't you? That's good stuff. So meekness. Meekness is a godly characteristic that's very, very important for us. Number two, wisdom. Wisdom. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. Do your numbers flip over to the right about six flips? 1 Kings chapter 3. First Kings chapter 3, in verse 1, we read about King Solomon. And of course, the first thing I always focus on with King Solomon is he had way too many wives. Oh my goodness. Lose track of how many wives and all the... what a mess. You know, he is the primary, what were you thinking, type of a guy. But you know what? A characteristic stands up right at the top of Solomon. One that I take note of. Oh, by the way, if you have someone who has all kinds of problems, don't rule them out. You may take note of a special characteristic in their life. Take note of that. Compliment it. Encourage them, even though they may have the other issues, especially in children. King Solomon, what an interesting man. 1 Kings chapter 3, in verse 1, the Bible says, "And Solomon made an affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, and walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was a great high place. A thousand burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.' And Solomon said, 'Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. For thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made my servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?' And the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, 'Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked.'" What a plus. "Both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. Solomon chose God's wisdom. He said, Lord, I don't get this. I don't understand how going church after church after church after church, and you're there for a vapor of time. How can I make a difference there? Lord, I don't understand it. Lord, I don't understand how I'm raising a teenager and I've never been into daddy school for teenagers. How in the world do I do this? I'm raising and really, really fellowshipping with my adult, young adult child. And they're post-college. And they're trying to make those decisions of life. Well, how do I do this? I know what I observed, maybe what I did. And for many Christians who got saved later on as an adult, like me, I made bad choices when I was a teenager. I don't have a view to look back upon and say, this is what I did as a youth, therefore I know, because that worked for me and it got me and it worked very well, stuff to stay away from, stuff to include. I don't have that. How do I do this? Where do I get the understanding for this? When Marianne and I, when we got into our first church 20 years ago this year, Rhineland Baptist Church in Germany. Pastor Gib Wood from Maine. Who's from Maine? Yeah. Pastor Woody's from Maine. Wonderful, wonderful pastor. Still there ministering to the U.S. military around the Ramstein Air Base area. We started learning for the very first time what the Bible had to say about things. And our children were little. And we never raised a five-year-old. That was the first time. Mark's five. Here he is. What do I do? God gave to us, like He does all of us, many things to help us to get wisdom and understanding. Number one's the Bible. As I started to read through the different stories and the practical things, some of them made total sense. A lot of them very practical about family matters, financial matters, business matters, schooling matters, those major themes, very practical things. But some things weren't spelled out so easy. How do I do this? What are the principles that I need to say, you know what, this is a principle, this is a gray area. And I found out most of life is gray area, it's not black and white. Black and white is I'm married to Marianne, I should not kiss another woman, period, in a romantic way. That's black and white, that's easy. That's why I tell young people, why should you not kiss someone when you're not married? One simple reason, you're not married to her. Yeah, but I'm single. No, you're not married to her. I don't kiss any other woman in this church because I'm not married to them. Neither should a young person who's single or any single person do that. That's black and white. That's reserved inside marriage and is a wonderful thing, protected, safe place inside marriage. And we really like back scratches too. I'm an upper back scratch and Marianne's a lower back scratch. I told everybody that. She's dying over there. Inside marriage, it's black and white. But how about those gray areas? What are the principles in God's Word? And I found God gives us understanding once we want to seek it and we get the understanding, the knowledge of the Bible. So you got to read the Bible. You have to memorize the Bible. And fellas, you can read and you can memorize all day long. The A. Beckett curriculum is extraordinarily good. And they use it here in the school about memorization. But if you memorize it, like many do, to take a test and you forget it, it's a nearly zero value to you in your adult life. Because when you're in the job and things are really getting hard and you're making the big decisions, if you can't pull that verse back up, you're toast. The Bible says we ought to also muse on the Word of God. Get that verse and then think about it. Have them memorized, carrying with you so you can think about those verses throughout the day. That has been a great help to me. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandment. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I hid it in my heart. God gave, I believe, wisdom to And the methodology he gave it to Solomon is he gave him his word, an ability to memorize it, to know it, and to carry it with him and hide it in his heart. So when those decisions came up and you got tempted to do something, the Lord says, oh, no, you should stay pure. Don't do that. But I want to use the copier at work for my own personal. It's OK. Lord says, don't do that. Honor the king. The boss says, don't use that copier for your purposes. You use it for business purposes only. The Holy Spirit should just touch you in that. Don't do it. Don't do it. Those little things in life. And it guides you all the way through. And you find out people are just, they get in all kinds of trouble because they thought they could just do it their way and it'd be okay. And they didn't apply wisdom based on the knowledge of what the Bible says about honoring people, treating people right, being meek, having the right characteristics, having the courage when you need to have courage, and close your mouth when you need to close your mouth and stay silent. That's just been a tremendous help for me. And the Bible says in Galatians 5, I think when I think of Solomon, one of those characteristics I think of in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is that temperance, to be temperate. And when I think of being temperate, I often think, and there's probably other ways to describe this, a sheet metal, a metallurgist, a person who works with metal, making, say, aircraft parts or different types. They talk about having temperate metal. And temperate metal is metal that has high integrity inside of it, and all the impurities are out of the metal, so it's very strong. It's temperate. I like that. Wisdom will tell me that when I have that decision to make, stay strong and don't yield to the pressure of the world. And you can do it in a very meek and a gentle and a silent way at times, and other times through a very vocal way, we need to stand up and say, I'm not doing that. I know he's getting promoted, and I know they're going out to the bar. I'm not doing that. You can say that. But the key is allowing yourself to be strong-willed enough to let the Holy Spirit have his way and say no to the flesh. And that's really hard to do sometimes. But I tell you what, you do it enough and it becomes just kind of part of your character, it becomes much easier. Much easier. He was temperate. And that helped Solomon, I believe, in his wisdom of having the knowledge of God and then practicing what he knew and sticking with it. Because have you ever done something you wasn't quite sure, but you thought you tried to do the best that God wanted you to do? And then time after, a week, month, a year after, you look back and you went, I am so glad we did that. Looking back is really cool. But you got to be wise and walk and do it the Lord's way. If you haven't read your Bible all the way through, if you haven't taken notes to what the Holy Spirit directs you to as you're reading, you should do that. My book is full of writing. As the Lord will bring something to mind, and I'll write down right then what the Lord impressed upon my heart. To try to keep my heart soft to the Holy Spirit, so when the Holy Spirit tries to guide me based on the principles of what he's taught me, I'll listen. I'll listen. So meekness, I think of Moses. Wisdom, I think of Solomon. Lastly, as we wrap up, I think of faith in John the Baptist. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. First book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Well, what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. And what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he, of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I think it's interesting as he says the greatest of all that's come out of women is John the Baptist. And yet he talks about John in a very, very good way. And then he says, but there are some that are even greater. And the characteristic, I believe, is the characteristic of John the Baptist, but the Lord takes it one notch up. And he says in verse 11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding, here it is, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. He that is least. Do we think of John the Baptist as being a pretty basic man? He wasn't all climbing up the corporate ladder or anything else. He was a man covered in burlap, eating locusts, looking for the Lord and preaching about the Messiah to come. Pretty humble guy. Pretty non-drama type of a man. And the Lord says he was great in his eyes. The Lord, I think John the Baptist kept a circumspect. He understood who he was in relation to other people. I think it's real easy for us to elevate ourselves above what we think. It's called pride. And John the Baptist didn't do that. I think the greatest characteristic he had is he kept his main focus on Christ, not himself. From time to time, I'll just kind of get down. And I have found every single time, the way that I get out of that is I go find some people and try to help them. Say something nice, do something nice for them, and it immediately lifts me up. When I get my focus off myself and I just try to get it on them, because I get kind of down sometimes. I think you do too. His focus was on Christ. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I like it that even in that Old Testament period, which they were at that point, because the New Testament had started. Hebrews said the New Testament starts at the death of the testator. When Jesus died, the New Testament period started. This is the Old Testament. And the Old Testament spoke of, in every book of the Old Testament, the Messiah to come. And God, John the Baptist was looking for him. That was one of his primary things. And when he saw him, he recognized him. John thought about others. And yet Jesus says, greater is he is a person that is least in the kingdom of heaven. I'm not trying to elevate myself or get people to listen to my story or listen to my action. The Lord says, oh, no, no, you really need to be focused on other people. It's interesting. If you listen to people and listen to what they say, what do they talk about? Do they talk about this all the time? Do they talk about other people all the time? Do they talk about, in a caring way, positive things and encouraging things and exciting things about other people? Or do they talk about concepts of goodness all the time? Things they're trying to achieve for the Lord. Uplifting other people, but focused on those things they're trying to do for the Lord. I find people in every one of those categories. Christians too. Some Christians who pretty much from the time they open their mouth to the time they close it, regardless of when you're done listening, they talk about themselves. You know, the Bible says, for the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you want to know what's on a person's heart, listen to them. So if you have a child who's very self-focused as they're coming through, I believe one of the best ways to help them get over that flesh and that intensity of pride and of self is teach them how to minister to others. You know how you do that? You take your 7-year-old, you start learning how to minister in a Sunday school department back in the children's department. You go watch Faith, and you go watch Charity, and you go watch Hope, and you go watch all those that are back there doing their thing with the kids. It's a tremendous thing the Lord has given all of them. And you join them, and you bring your 7-year-old along with you. We did that in churches along the way. The Singletaries, Ron and Francine Singletary, children's ministry. I've never seen anything like it. And we ministered with them. We did puppets with them. We try to have our children focused on how do I spend time of my week and my Sunday and early and late and everything else and minister to them. Because it's not about just us going to church. Oh, the music was pretty good. Oh, I like the preacher. He was all right. Or he's kind of long-winded. I guess I'm almost done, huh? Others. John the Baptist. The Lord says he had a focus of other people. Because his focus was on the Lord Jesus. And I think John the Baptist knew what it meant to minister to others. A meek heart, wisdom to walk with the Lord, and faith. I think those are three really high characteristics I see in the Bible that's very helpful to all of us. Because I don't know about you, when I get it right and I'm walking the right way, I'm so much happier. Oh, life is so much easier. Everything is so much lighter to do. I love to go to work. I don't care how bad it is. God gave me a job. And Ecclesiastes says I should love my work that God's given me of the work of my hand. I like going to work. I should want to come home and see my wife. And she knows how to make a good home. I love coming home with my wife. I should want to do that. I should want to see my kids. I should want to come to church. Why? Because I'm not creating any waves. I know how to react to the bumps and the bruises that come along. And I know to have the joy and the love and the peace that God wants me to have. I love being around positive, happy people. And I think the reason why they're like that is because they've learned how to be meek, how to be wise, and how to have faith focused on Christ and others. And that all starts with a personal relationship with the God who created you.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.